This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're taking a look back at the 2013 season in review, taking a look back at that wild card loss, but then ahead to some free agency. To do that, we have joining us for the last time this season. To wrap things up, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing on a Wednesday morning?
Doing all right. A little sad to hear that another year is coming to an end, but good to have, I think this is 3 years in a row of being here every Wednesday with you.
Yeah, it's been a good time, a good three-year run. Hopefully we continue it to four.
Hopefully.
All right. Let's talk about these Green Bay Packers here. The last game, the wild card loss, we haven't talked to you since then. It sure seemed to me like 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick had a good game in the wild card round, while Aaron Rodgers kind of looked nearly human. Can you kind of compare the performance of those two?
Yeah, I think the biggest reason it seemed like that is just because of Kaepernick's legs. He had three design runs for 11 yards and then scrambled four times for 85 yards. So a big play after big play, just running the ball, I think, is a big reason that there looked to be a big difference between the quarterbacks. In terms of passing, Kaepernick was fairly average. He only completed around 53.3% of his passes, which isn't very high, and only one was thrown away. Two of those were dropped, so his accuracy wasn't really much better. So he only had an average day throwing the ball. It was really running the ball that Kaepernick had a great game. Rodgers only averaged 6.8 yards per attempt, which was his second lowest of the season. And looking back at previous games in his career, those are usually amongst his worst yards per attempt in a game over the course of the season. So it was really an average game for Rodgers as well.
I think, if you ask me, there's kind of a gulf of difference between the Packers and the 49ers in their linebacker cores. I think that was evident during the wild card round. I think it's evident during the season as a whole. And it kind of gets into what maybe the needs of the Packers are here. But what do the Pro Football Focus grades say?
I would agree with you there that there's a big difference between the Packers and 49ers linebackers. Although if you compare the 49ers linebackers to nearly anyone, there's probably a big difference. You could make an argument that Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis are the two best inside linebackers in the league. They could very well be number one and two as all pros. Alden Smith typically is a very good pass rusher. And Ahmad Brooks is a little bit overrated. I don't think he should have made the Pro Bowl. But in this game specifically, both Auden Smith and Ahmad Brooks had very good games. They combined for four sacks, one hit, and seven hurries, while the inside linebackers just looked about average in this game against the Packers. Where for the Packers, Clay Matthews was the only player amongst the linebackers to have a positive overall grade. And in this game, the inside linebackers looked average, while there really wasn't much pass rush out of Nick Perry and Andy Mulumba, who each had three pressures on there, a lot of pass rushes.
I think it's funny that you talk about Ahmad Brooks being overrated, him being like the fourth of four Pro Bowl linebackers for the 49ers. Like, you know, what a luxury it has to have a fringe Pro Bowl player as your worst starting linebacker. But anyway, here, getting back to the Packers here, how much were the Packers hurt by Sam Shields leaving the game due to injury, and how did Devon House do in his place?
I think they were certainly hurt a little bit, since Sam Shields is one of the better players on the Packers defense. But I do think House did a decent job as a replacement. He had a very active game. He was targeted eight times and allowed four catches for 61 yards. He had just a mix of a lot of good and bad plays in there. With the incomplete passes, he did have a pass defense in there. He did have a few good plays in coverage. something that won't show up in the stat sheet is something like him reading a wide receiver screen right away, which stopped Kaepernick from even throwing in that direction, so he wasn't thrown at because he did a good job to prevent Kaepernick from throwing that way. But then also some of the plays where he did allow catches were plays that he could have done better. So I would say overall it was probably one of his better games of the season, considering he was thrown into the mix and ended up having an average game.
Kind of speaking of Sam Shields here, he's one of the highest profile free agents coming up for the Packers this season. Could you kind of assess his game and how important he is to the team when he's healthy?
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's overall an above-average starting cornerback and can be one of the better cornerbacks in the game if he eliminates allowing some of his bigger plays. He allows just 50% of passes thrown his way to be caught, which is tied for 8th best among starting cornerbacks. He also had 12 passes defended on the season, which is tied for 9th best. But the only thing preventing him from being amongst some of the top cornerbacks in the league is he does allow a high yards per catch of 15.8. He has a lot of passes of over 20 yards that he allowed completed this year. So if he can eliminate those big plays, he can be amongst one of the better cornerbacks in the league. But until he can eliminate those, he's just an above-average starting cornerback.
You know, kind of looking forward here to free agency for the Packers now that the season is over, who else do you think should be a priority for the Packers to re-sign among a group that includes Evan Dietrich Smith, James Jones, and Jermichael Finley? We could even maybe throw Andrew Quarles in there too. Who are some of these guys that the Packers probably need to re-sign?
I think Evan Dietrich Smith should be the top priority. He was our 8th best center in terms of PFF rating, and he improved as the season went on. So if he played as well as he did late in the season, as put that early in the season, he would have been amongst the best centers. And the Packers already have two of the best guards in the league, so keeping that together, I think, could be vital and giving the Packers one of the best interior offensive lines in the league. So I think Evan Dietrich Smith should be the Packers' top priority amongst their free agents. Jermichael Finley, I would say, is next most important, although that's completely dependent on his health and how he's doing there, which I have no idea where his current status is. But no Packers tight end has been great at run blocking over these past 2 years, but Finley is just a receiving option that the other tight ends aren't. So I think he has value, assuming he can get back to the play that he was at. And a lot of that also depends on how much money he wants. But then James Jones, he's still an above-average wide receiver, but it's hard for me to see him as big of a priority as the other two just because they have Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Jerick Boykin on the roster, and he could very well be the 4th best wide receiver on the team with those other three there. So if they can get him at a good price, then that's great to have that much depth, but I don't think he's nearly as vital as the other two.
What are the Packers going to do on the defensive line? A lot of free agents here. B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly, C.J. Wilson, Mike Neal, and I realize Mike Neal's kind of more of an outside linebacker now, but he still, you know, rushes from the defensive line position every now and again. Who should they be pursuing out of this group when you take into account performance and the money it'll take to re-sign them?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these players aren't with the Packers next year. I know we've talked a number of times about B.J. Raji and how he's basically left invisible for a lot of the season. And with how much money I'm guessing he'll want, I wouldn't be surprised if Raji isn't back. Ryan Pickett, his play wasn't nearly as good this year as it was last year. He was still an above-average player against the run, but he is also the second oldest defensive lineman on any roster in the league at the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if his play continues to digress some. I'm guessing he'll want a bigger contract, so I'm not sure if he will be worth the amount of money he wants. Johnny Jolly and P.J. Wilson are two players that I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't much of a market for either of them elsewhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers could sign either of them or both of them two small contracts and let them compete in training camp. And then Mike Neal, I don't think the move to outside linebacker worked all that well, although with how little depth they've had there, they do need someone there. But if they can use him more as an interior pass rusher, I think he does have value still. But I wouldn't be be all that surprised if the Packers' defensive line next year is Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones, Darrell Worthy, Josh Boyd, and a draft pick. And the Packers only need 5 defensive linemen on the roster. And it could very well be none of the free agents are back and on the roster next year. And I think it wouldn't make a huge difference compared to this year.
Sometimes I wonder if Mike Neal could be the Eric Walden of this year, who's, you know, all it takes is one team to be enamored and makes them a nice offer based upon an okay season and the fact that he was a second-round draft choice. But anyway, that's to be determined. Nathan, the Packers didn't get any Pro Bowlers to Hawaii this year, but I know Pro Football Focus disagrees. Who are some of the guys that deserve to go to be in the, you know, the NFL's All-Star game?
The most obvious selection to me of the Packers that should have made it is Josh Sitton. He worked his way to our second highest rated guard this year. His pass protection has been absolutely amazing. He's allowed only 5 hurries or 5 pressures in the last 16 games. So there's Packers offensive tackles that have allowed that much pressure in a single game. So it's hard to find any guard in the league who pass protects as good as Sitton does. So I think he definitely should have made it. Next, Jordy Nelson. There are a lot of really good wide receivers that are amongst the top tier in the league, but Jordy Nelson ended up as our second best receiver. It's really hard to find someone who can consistently have both a high catch rate and a high yards per catch. So I think Jordy Nelson should have made it as well. You could definitely make a case for Eddie Lacy. I know I have on the show a couple of times before, but there also isn't a huge gap between Lacy and the other running backs who made it. So it's not surprising that the people selecting ended up picking other running backs, since there wasn't a single rookie, I believe, that ended up making the initial Pro Bowl roster, at least. And then finally, I think a case can be made for John Poon. I know he didn't make our Pro Bowl roster, since there are a couple of fullbacks who are can run the ball, can catch the ball, and do a lot of different things well, where if you just want a fullback who can block, Poon did end up as our second best blocking fullback this year. Improved a lot this year compared to previous years, so I think a case can be made for Kuhn at fullback as well.
Yeah, interesting. I remember when Kuhn made the fullback a couple years ago there, it was like he doesn't even deserve to go, and now all of a sudden he deserves to go, I think, this season, or, you know, like you say, the case can be made at least, and he ends up not making it. But, you know, lastly here, Nathan, before we let you go, could you just take a look at how far Mason Crosby came in 2013 as compared to 2012? Such a nice story.
Yeah, he definitely improved in his field goal percentage, got a lot better there. Last year, he missed 2 field goals within 40 yards, and you really don't want to miss those short field goals. And this year, he didn't miss any of those short field goals. And then in terms of longer field goals, he made 2 of 9 last year, which is not good at all, where this year he made 5 of 7, which is a lot better. There are a lot of kickers in the league who have been great at field goal percentage this year, but his improvement has led him to the middle of the pack this year in terms of field goal percentage and how well he did there, which is definitely good enough for him to keep his job going forward, I think. And then in terms of kickoffs, he only averaged 63.2 yards per kick, which isn't very good. I don't know what made the Packers switch from Tim Mastay to Mason Crosby midseason as their kickoff man, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's something where Mastay takes the job back again next year, since he was kicking the ball much further on his kickoff, where I think keeping Crosby focusing on his field goals worked this year. So I could see that being something the Packers keep doing going forward.
Nathan, we appreciate the time. Thank you for all you've done during the whole 2013 season. It's been great. And can I talk to you again in August?
Yep. Thanks again for having me all this time. And hopefully I will be talking to you again. And after this really long offseason we have upcoming.
All right. Sounds good. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Take care, Nathan. Nathan's gone. Anyway, thanks to him for joining us all season long. It's great to get his unique statistical analysis on the Green Bay Packers and the league as a whole. It was always fun to listen to him kind of preview the Packers' next opponent as well, things like that. They do great work at Pro Football Focus. Please go check out the website. Consider getting their premium subscription. I'm sure our listeners on the live blog at Livestream can confirm that fact, that it's money well spent if you go to Pro Football Focus, get their premium subscription, check out all the array of statistics they have there that go beyond almost any other pro football website there is in existence. So thanks to Nathan Yonke, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us this morning as we kind of continue our season wrap-up here, the Packers, looking back at a season and also kind of gazing ahead at what's to come. Here on a Wednesday, the Packers are kind of wrapping up the 2013 season. Mike McCarthy meets with the media. I think it's 11 o'clock a.m. local time, his last press conference of the year. Going to be the last opportunity to hear from Mike McCarthy for quite some time as he kind of goes into hiding. I'm sure they kind of get a vacation in here once the season is done. Not to say that vacations for pro football coaches are very long, but they do keep a low profile. McCarthy will end up speaking at the NFL Combine, at the NFL owners meetings, things like that. But those are, you know, over a month away. So, it's the last time to hear him speak, kind of look at the season in review, see what kind of changes could be in store for the Packers next year. Although I'm sure, as usual, most pro football coaches are vague when asked about those kind of questions, but the media will try their best regardless. I think another item of news that's kind of the big thing here, just days after the season ended, we learned that Packers quarterback coach Ben McAdoo is interviewing for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job today. So that's kind of noteworthy. I think it kind of caught people by surprise, being like, wow, Ben McAdoo, a head coach, this kind of came out of nowhere. And it did a little bit. And I think what people are starting to see is, here's a guy who's very much like Andy Reid, who's gone on to have much success in the NFL, although who has always come up short in his quest for a Super Bowl. But still, you know, one of the more highly regarded head coaches in the NFL, kind of, you know, came up very much in the same way in the Green Bay system. You remember that Andy Reid was an assistant coach for the Packers way back when. Kind of came up first as a tight ends coach, which is how Ben McAdoo started his reign in Green Bay. And I shouldn't really call it a reign, his time in Green Bay. And then after that became the quarterbacks coach this season, tutoring Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien and company, and you know, all the other guys in the offseason. He's had a lot of quarterbacks to work with for in the NFL, for considering it's just one season. Go back and consider Vince Young and BJ Coleman and Graham Harrell and Seneca Wallace. That's a lot for any one NFL team to be working on quarterbacks in you know, one calendar year. But anyway, Ben McAdoo interviewing for the Cleveland Browns head job. And, you know, even if he doesn't end up getting the Browns head job, they end up hiring somebody else, you still got to consider he's going to get an offensive coordinator job probably somewhere. And I think a lot of people will point to that now open position in Miami. A lot of change in with the Miami Dolphins. They ended up Jeff Ireland, their general manager, agreeing to step down, which kind of leaves Joe Philbin as the head coach there. And interestingly, just what was it, 2 days ago, Joe Philbin ended up firing their current now former offensive coordinator, former Packers head coach Mike Sherman. And I do just kind of have to chuckle a little bit to myself And it's not even a laughing matter because I'm sure it was hard. I mean, Mike Sherman was Joe Philbin's high school teacher and his former boss. I mean, how hard would it be to fire your own high school teacher, somebody who you respect? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who might like to fire some of their high school teachers, but the ones you do respect, though, you know, I can't imagine how tough that would be. But regardless, you know, Mike Sherman, former Packers head coach, kind of, you know, how has his job kind of taken a little bit of a turn for the worse, ends up getting fired, you know, from Green Bay, from the Texas A&M head job, now as the Dolphins offensive coordinator. Feel sorry for him. Good guy, but his track record as a coach has not been all that great, especially as a head coach and now offensive coordinator. But the spot opens, and you know, Joe Philbin, Ben McAdoo work together in Green Bay here. It makes sense that maybe he could be the type of guy that ends up going to Miami and working there. But even if he doesn't, you know, there's a lot of open jobs now in the NFL. So much change, turnover in coaching staffs league-wide. It's a good bet Ben McAdoo ends up somewhere. So where does that leave the Packers? You know, it leaves them without a quarterback coach, for one. I don't think there will be much turnover on the Packers coaching staff. We talked about this last show. You know, if the Packers end up, you know, looking for a scapegoat anywhere for the 2013 season, and I'm not sure it's a good bet they do, but if they do it anywhere, they might fire defensive coordinator Dom Capers. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe it will, but regardless, if they do, what I'm saying is, you know, that they'll look for a scapegoat on the defensive side of the football. I think the offensive side's going to, offensive side's going to stay intact. So they got a, you know, open position for quarterback coach. What did they do there? I've already seen speculated, hey, Edgar Bennett, look at him. The guy has gone from, running backs coach to wide receivers coach. Could it actually be Edgar Bennett moving to quarterbacks coach, kind of, you know, just getting him one more step prepared to take the next step in terms of offensive coordinator? The Packers aren't going to fire Tom Clements, although, you know, I'm sure there are some people who might have their might have a bone to pick with Tom Clements and the play calling this year, things like that, even though he's not the game day, you know, play caller, he's the game planner. Regardless, I don't think the Packers are going to make a change there. So, but, you know, maybe Edgar Bennett, you know, going to be the quarterback coach. Could you imagine that? The former, you know, Packers running back and a Tudor quarterbacks. It maybe it happens. Maybe it does. But, you know, I think perhaps the logical, you know, next Packers quarterback coach would be the current running backs coach, Alex Van Pelt, who was a quarterback himself, and also, you know, a quarterback coach elsewhere in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills. He was the offensive coordinator there for a while. It makes sense that, you know, he would become the Packers quarterback coach, and then the Packers are looking for a new running backs coach, things like that. So there's, you know, different directions they could go in terms of who they're looking for. You know, that things could, you know, change and be different. It just depends on what the Packers want to do. Do they want to, you know, Edgar Bennett changing positions again? Or does it, you know, do they want Alex Van Pelt working with quarterbacks, where he's probably more of his comfort zone? So you know, different directions the Packers could go. Where they'll go, I don't know. It's going to, you know, they're going to wait for the dominoes to fall. You know, I'm sure they'll wait till Ben McAdoo leaves officially. Then they kind of start their search, although I'm sure they're already looking at a pool of candidates who they could hire. But, you know, going to wait for the dominoes to fall first. And we'll see what happens here. with the Green Bay Packers as the season comes to a close. But yeah, I mean, the season's done. I mean, the next thing we have to look to is free agency and then the draft. And, you know, we kind of talked about with Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus who these upcoming free agents are with the Packers. You know, who should they focus on? Who shouldn't they? I think if I had to rank the Packers' upcoming free agents, who should they attempt to re-sign? It goes something like this. It goes Sam Shields, and I don't know what's going to happen with Sam Shields. Of course, as we've talked about on here before, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus, who's, you know, kind of notorious for trying to milk as big a contract as humanly possible. Pardon me here as I got a phone call in the middle of the show here, letting it go to voicemail for Railbird Central. For all you listeners out there, I'm letting calls go to voicemail for you. But now that I've lost my train of thought, getting back to Sam Shields here, Drew Rosenhaus's agent, you know, can the Packers end up affording Sam Shields, who I think will look to be one of the more highly paid cornerbacks in the NFL? But what's it going to take? I mean, they do have the franchise tag available to them, which I think, if I'm correct, is in excess of $10 million. I mean, that would kind of be a last resort, but it could also be one way to hang on to Sam Shields for, you know, just get at least one more season out of him. I don't know if the Packers would want to use that or not. I'm sure they would love to, you know, avoid it at all costs possible, but they could also be looking at, you know, potentially losing him as well and kind of playing that game. So that is a really, really tough one. That's going to, you know, that there's going to be a lot of articles written about Sam Shields over the course of the next month and a half or so. As you know, free agency comes its way in March or so. I think after that, we're looking at center Evan Dietrich Smith kind of being the next target, just because if he's let go, boy, the options at center for Packers are not that enticing. As much potential as they may have, I mean, you're talking about J.C. Treader, who spent, you know, most of the season injured, but the Packers took him in the draft. I think there's potential there, but there's, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to end up being the answer for the Packers. Greg Van Roten, Garth Gerhardt, I mean, these guys are backups, practice squad guys to begin with. Otherwise, the Packers got to get somebody in free agency or the draft, and, you know, bringing a rookie in is a crapshoot. And if you're going to go for the free agency route, you might as well just sign your own free agent with Evan Dietrich Smith. Another tough one there. Hopefully they can get him under contract for an amount of money that isn't too exorbitant, and Dietrich Smith ends up coming back. And then after that, I think the Packers have to sign at least one wide-body defensive lineman. And I don't know if it's B.J. Raji who's going to, you know, regardless whether or not he, you know, ended up declining an $8 million offer from the Green Bay Packers. Somebody out there is going to, you know, offer him a handsome contract. I don't know if it'll reach $8 million, but he's still going to get paid several million. You can bet the house on that. Somebody out there is going to pay B.J. Raji rather nicely, you know, whether it's Green Bay or somewhere else. But I mean, the potential of losing him or Ryan Pickett, I know he's old, but if Raji leaves, I mean, do you bring Pickett back for 1 year, or do you kind of hope that Johnny Jolly, you know, recovers from this injury, which is no guarantee? He's got a spinal injury, which is no small matter here. You don't even know if he's going to be able to come back from that, but if he does, if he's healthy, man, I think you got to sign somebody out of BJ Raji, Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly, because I think losing all three of them would be a blow. You know, whether it's, you know, losing Jolly to injury and then Pickett and, you know, Raji to free agency or whatever. You know, it's, I just think you can't lose all three of them. You need one wide bodied back, even if Josh Boyd is your starting nose tackle next year, whatever. You need one of them back. You need one of them to come back and play the run, if nothing else. And I don't know, maybe BJ Raji lives up to his expectations, although it's just been so disappointing how poorly he's played this season, the past few seasons, or at least not poorly, but underachieved. I mean, you expect more out of, you know, what was BJ Raji, the number 9 overall draft choice. You know, he didn't have a sack in 2 seasons, and I realize 3-4 defensive linemen don't get a lot of sacks, especially in a 2-gapping system like the Packers, but come on. I think we can expect more than 0 sacks out of a guy who's supposed to be a freak of nature, who's a first rounder, who's a top 10 draft choice. So I think we can expect more than that. So that's kind of your preliminary look at free agency, I think, for the Packers. That there's, you know, a lot of them overall. As we said, I think there's, you know, 17 total free agents for the Packers. And I don't know if that just includes unrestricted ones or if it also includes restricted free agents. There's not a lot of them, but I think Jamari Lattimore is a restricted free agent. I know Chris Banjo's an exclusive rights free agent. Do the Packers re-sign these guys, et cetera, et cetera. We got plenty of time on Railbird Central to discuss these guys in future episodes because free agency doesn't start till March. And we'll be devoting whole episodes to certain guys pretty much in the next few weeks or so. So I'm looking forward to that and getting into a lot of draft talk too. I know next week we're going to start to get our college football all-star game reports from Pigskin Paul Guillemette, as we have for a couple seasons now, checking in from the Shrine game in Florida, checking in from the Senior Bowl in Alabama. So we'll be, you know, starting to look at the NFL draft starting next week. So looking forward to that as well. So those are things to look forward to here on Railbird Central coming up. But that'll do it on a Wednesday morning edition of the show. Thanks to Nathan Yonke for joining us as he has all season long. So glad to have him be part of Railbird Central. But on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called Mauna Boa from String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.